Welcome to the Stabbin' Stylists Podcast. I'm Randa.
And I'm Ashley.
We are just two stylists who love true crime and hair, and we're going to tell you about both.
This is a true crime podcast. These stories may be disturbing to some. Listener discretion is advised. Trigger warning, this episode contains graphic crime.
I'm gonna do the good old boy roundup. Before I start telling you in this case, I will tell them this has a lot of racially sensitive material. I'm going to be very vague in the things that I say. If you are interested in seeing the DOJ report, we will put that on our website. But yeah, this is the story of the good old boy roundup.
Teach me some. Learn me something new today.
So here in Southeast Tennessee, we have the Cherokee National Forest up in Polk County, Benton area. And originally, the good old boy roundup started as a law enforcement agent tradition. It was tents, and there was a beer truck and rafts, coolers, that kind of thing. And it was born in 1980, just a simple rafting and cookout plan that originally was just straightforward, a small circle of agents and some friends just spend the weekend. The word spread through local, state, and federal circles. And by the 1990s, the event got up to where it was about 500 different people.
Damn, just a couple.
The admission was typically just under $100, and there was a big beer truck and still the camaraderie and stuff. But in 1995, a story broke from the Washington Times that framed the roundup as a whites-only rally dominated by federal agents, especially the ATF.
Ooh, don't like that.
Other allegations surfaced, including claims of drug distribution, rape.
Oh.
And in a matter of days, I mean, this was all over the news. Like, it had gotten picked up by every station there is. And two different names are what really pushed the story into the spotlight. Jeffrey Randall and Richard Hayward.
Okay. Who were they?
They were both connected to an Alabama militia that was, like, super hostile towards the ATF. And they were really, like, their mission was, we're bringing down the ATF. And the Alabama militia people are started to be some of the 500 that started coming into the ATF stuff, right?
Okay.
And Hayward attended earlier roundups, but was banned for racist behavior. Please remember that as we go on into the story. Randall, the other guy, refused to cooperate with investigators even after being subpoenaed for film and photos, and he would not turn over videotape from 1990, which they ended up having to, like, literally go get from him, that showed him doing white supremacy activity.
Oh.
So the problem with this is, even though these guys are the ones that were proven to be pretty heinous, racist, ugly monsters, you've thrown allegations around towards the ATF now.
Yeah.
So the DOJ has to start investigating this.
Yeah.
So this is where the Office of the Inspector General comes in. It's called
the Big Dogs.
I had never even heard of this before, but it's called the OIG. Is
the OIG.
Yes. And they actually identified close to 1,400 attendees through the years 1980 to 1995.
Oh, wow.
They interviewed more than 500 witnesses.
Oh, just a couple.
Yeah. And they took over 900 statements in general. So they subpoenaed bank records, computer records, everything from the organizer. And the organizer was the former ATF agent. His name was Gene Reitmeier. And they cross-checked everything. They really went through everything with a fine-tooth comb.
Made sure they had all of it.
Right. So they talked to everybody they could get their hands on that had been to this, especially the minority agents that had been there to kind of figure out what was true, what wasn't being true, and what was being said. And people were pretty honest about it. Memories have faded over the time, and they really drank a lot at these. So some things that are noted in the tapes that they found that are normally done by the people that they talk to was in 1990, multiple racist signs appeared at the campground. But the thing is, the signs came down. No one was identified or punished. But whenever the higher-ups saw the signs, they were made to be taken down.
Yeah. But they don't know who did it?
They don't know who did it. But they were seen on the tapes that the two people who were bringing these allegations against the ATF had.
Okay.
And they were the only two with cameras. I'm sure multiple people had cameras. Yeah. But just saying, they were incriminating themselves doing racist things on the tapes that they had.
Yeah.
So in 1992, they had a Redneck of the Year skit.
Okay.
That was essentially in blackface. That's the nicest way I can say that.
Don't do that.
The thing is, the organizers criticized it, but they, once again, no punishments.
So they're not stopping it.
Right. And that's kind of the biggest thing is, like, at one point there was graffiti on campground toilets that said things like "whites only."
Ew.
The organizers covered over it, but that's all that happened.
Yeah.
So Richard Hayward, back to him, he's one of the ones that was like from the Alabama militia bringing all this to light. He was seen on tape bringing David Duke, the grand wizard of the KKK at the time, campaign materials. And in 1993, because of not just this, but a big part of that, organizers set written rules prohibiting racist and political activity. But this guy still showed up with his car plastered in racist slogans.
Of course he did.
And was wearing a shirt. I'm sorry. Was wearing, this is trigger warning and gross, but I want to express how gross this guy is. He was wearing a mask of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. with a bullet hole. The thing is, he was made to strip it all off before entering, so it said, but it's also said that racist t-shirts still circulated that year.
Of course they did.
So it honestly sounds like it really started as something pure. And the more people that started coming, like, I would say, yes, that not, hold on, take that back. I don't say pure, because in the early days, even when it was just a camping trip, I'm pretty sure they still had like kegs and strippers.
Oh, yeah.
But it sounds like it started as like a small thing between agents and just got like bigger and bigger and bigger.
And it got out of hand.
Right. Very out of hand. Because there's no telling how many people were drinking at this or how much they had to drink too. And, I mean, there were plenty of reports that painted it as being like a kind of a Klan rally and how it was like a really racist, gross thing. I do think there
That's what it's looking like.
Right. The OIG ended up finding out that when it started in 1980, it had just 58 law enforcement officers, and they were mostly local, and it grew about 500 people. And of those, only maybe 10% were law enforcement.
Oh, wow. So this was just like everybody else's show.
Right. Like, it sounds like everybody just kind of
piled on.
During the 16-year span, only 3% of attendees were DOJ employees. And the highest turnout was 11 people, and that only happened twice, in 1986 and 1994.
So it sounds like these agents were like, oh, this is not us anymore.
Right. This is not what we had planned.
No.
And
but also, y'all should have went and arrested some people. But that's just me.
Right. I mean, yeah.
So you weren't preventing it anyway.
The inspector general looked into the serious allegations, like the drug distribution, the rape, the mm-hmm. prostitution, all that kind of stuff. And they really never found any of the evidence that held up. One of the eyewitnesses to this supposed like gang rape that had happened recanted. And the person who was named the victim in that was like, I don't even know what you're talking about. That didn't happen.
What?
So it sounds like things were just made. I don't know. And so there was also stories that a drug enforcement officer offered cocaine in a bar called Grumpy's. Little Grumpy's.
Mm-hmm.
And that there was cocaine and marijuana just floating around the roundup.
Mm-hmm.
But they never found any. There was just like a couple people that said that. But then other people were like, no, not really. So, I mean, there's probably...
So, quickly, we went from a camping trip between guys to Burning Man.
I mean, yeah, basically. Which, I mean, it was there for 16 years. So, it sounds like just over time, it kind of snowballed.
Bad.
By 1996, the Treasury Department actually banned its agents from attending anyway. And... they came out and they were like, you know, what? Yeah, this was a vile, fueled by alcohol situation, but it's not.
We do not condone.
Right. And I mean, it got fucking crazy at one point. Like on stage, they, by the end, were having like skits that were like meant to shock people. Like people bit the heads off of dead snakes. And one man ate a raw fish soaked in beer. So, I mean, yeah.
Why?
I don't know. And, like, female officers said that it was, like, vulgar and it was kind of gross. And, like, the male attendees admitted they'd never want, like, their wives or their daughters to come. So, yeah, it was pretty vile. So, but anyway, where does that leave, like, the DOJ employees, right? Like, that. What happened? So... there was no evidence that DOJ personnel ever engaged in any of the racist activity or the criminal misconduct. They looked more into it and basically said a lot of them saw what was going on by the end. And
said
left.
No thanks.
Yeah, didn't come back. This really changed the game for what off-duty conduct meant to these officers. I feel like they were allowed to get away with stuff like this for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at this point, this was kind of
in the name of blowing off steam.
Right. And even the OIG said, now
no more.
You can be disciplined for off-duty mm-hmm. behavior, just so you know. And they really did a lot more. I think this is probably more when like HR training came into. And I was just thinking about this. Hold on a second. I'm about to try to stand up. I've been sitting here for too long.
I'm going
to carry my microphone over here, but I have ATF training in videos over here. Here's one that's like drugs at work employee version.
Mm-hmm. They're like, here's how we catalog the drugs.
Right. ATF in action 1991. That's funny. That it's the case of the good old boy roundup that got nasty there for a little bit, but yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like the limit did not exist there for a minute, and then it did.
Yeah. So, anyway.
Now you know.
Yeah.
Now you know. Don't whistle in the woods at night.
Bye, y'all.